say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide, and the web address, mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. I haven't seen you guys in a couple of weeks.
I know, it's been a while.
Been a few.
It's no secret that we pre-record this show. Mm-hmm. So what is today? Tuesday, May 10th.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. At about, well, now it's about 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, pretty day.
Pretty day outside, and lots of warm weather ahead of us.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Is your I'm going to call it your business.
Yes.
Guys, is it seasonal to any degree, would you say?
I wouldn't say seasonal, but there are certain weeks where it might get a little slower and a little busier.
Yeah.
For instance, as I mentioned when we were off air, before the 4th of July, that week tends to get a little slower, and before Labor Day also. We treat mostly adults, some kids. Need our help, but mostly adults, and adults don't want to mess with the 4th of July or Labor Day, I'll tell you right now.
And yet you, and I've mentioned this before, I'm a patient of yours. By the way, I wasn't a patient before you were doing the show. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of the second show, I said, all right, we need to talk.
Yes. Actually, you said you had a friend.
I had a friend, yeah.
that you had a question that for us about.
Yeah.
And I knew immediately that you were referring to.
Yes, I remember
you yourself and I.
When my daughter was in high school, I remember her telling my wife and I, she sat down with us, we were talking one time, she talked about her friends who were on birth control. She didn't say who they were. And I remember thinking to myself, I hope you know this isn't an autobiography here. you know, still don't know for sure, but... she's in her 30s now, so I guess it's ancient history.
I guess it doesn't matter.
By the way, if you don't mind me saying this, you have beautiful teeth.
Oh, thank you.
Well, isn't that important?
I think so.
Sue, have you ever seen a dentist who doesn't have very nice-looking teeth?
Yes.
I have.
A long time ago. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have, and it doesn't bode very well. It's not really very inspirational.
No.
You know?
Wait, could it be the pedodontist?
Not him. No. I'm thinking of an older dentist a long time ago that I used to work for. Wow. Smoked in his office.
Oh, you told me about him.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, you look so young, but you've been with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yep, a long time.
Yeah. We've had a lot of fun.
So in business, I'm going to call it business. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but you know something? I met with an oncology group a couple of weeks ago. Thank God it was for advertising, not for
Was it for
personal.
You personally,
no, it wasn't.
Jeff? That
was a friend
very
of mine.
Strange.
No. But he talked about, you know, business and how business is and the competition and how they compete for patients, this, that, and the other thing.
We were in the business of helping people.
By the way, you know, Sue, you sent me an article, apropos to what you just said, Dr. Edelstein, about taking the bite out of dental bills, you know, people on Medicare and so forth. I found some of the things in the article, quite frankly, to be rather disconcerting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some of the recommendations, we're going to talk about that next week. But I mean, there was things like, you know, look up at the prices before you go, find lower fees at a dental school.
Yeah.
These are things where we're putting price before quality.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I wouldn't want to do that with an oncologist, but I wouldn't want to do it with a periodontist either.
Right.
I would hope not.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, this oncologist, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a veteran oncologist, very well thought of. Great person, seems like. I told him about the gums being ground zero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
First, he agreed 100%.
Wow.
He said, absolutely.
He was familiar with it. He was aware of it.
Mm-hmm. And these fellows and women, I'm assuming, they read everything they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
You know, to stay up with their field when they have to.
Right.
But yeah, he said, there's no doubt about it, you know, that people with gum problems are going to have problems elsewhere, you know, before long.
Absolutely. We know there are higher rates of heart attack and stroke and diabetes and all sorts of other things.
Haven't you said, too, that so you can have what, you know, what we laymen call gum disease, mm-hmm. okay? And you can have it for a very long time, and you just kind of like, you know, drain it, the pus yourself. You know, it sounds
some
rather disgusting.
Some people do that, yeah. All
right, and you can do it, but you can do it for years and years and have it without.
Years and years. It's painless.
And you don't realize what you're doing to yourself.
It's painless.
No.
Because it's painless, so you don't realize what you're doing to yourself.
Correct.
So, I mean, pain is not always, so pain is certainly, I guess, a symptom. It's a warning signal to you that there might be something wrong
pain,
with you.
Pain is typical when there's pressure. And with periodontal disease, there's typically no pressure because the infection drains into the mouth, but it drains.
Sometimes manually, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I was pushing.
Your friend did that,
friend
didn't they?
He was pushing it into his...
Or sometimes just spontaneously, and because there's drainage, there's no pressure built up, and there's typically no discomfort. So people have this this disease, periodontal disease. It's silent. We know that 70% of the population over age 65 has some type of periodontal disease, whether or not they see a dentist.
70%.
70%. And it's
when somebody comes to you who's over 65, let's say, you're almost assuming that there's
70%.
Some disease there, because based on the statistics.
Statistics support that. Yeah, you can make that assumption. You should make that assumption so that you can check.
So somebody who's in that age group but doesn't have it, that's more the exception than the rule.
It's the exception to the rule.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the oldest you've seen somebody who's doesn't have periodontal disease? I mean, you've seen people in their 80s that don't have it?
Yeah, we have some patients that are very healthy. You know, Jeff, probably at least a third to a half of what we do is to keep people from getting into trouble. So it's preventative. It's to keep people healthy rather than treat people.
Well, we saw Amy's grandmother well into her early 90s,
yes.
Dr. Edelstein's wife's grandmother, and she didn't have gum disease. She was very healthy.
What's her name, Brown? Was it one of the Browns? Okay.
Yeah, Hannah Brown.
And Mrs. Brown, you have a lovely granddaughter.
You have a lovely daughter. Yes, and granddaughter.
That was a sequel to Mrs. Brown, you have a lovely... Did you ever hear it? Herman's Hermits? Wow, it's wild. Her grandmother, well into her 80s.
Yeah.
You know, I see you four times a year. I go to your office to get my teeth cleaned, which I certainly don't think is excessive because I like to be looked at four times a year. And I like when you come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it's worth it just for that few minutes. When you come into the room and you look at what's going on, to kind of monitor things.
Yeah, there are also studies to support it. Most adults do better with cleanings four times a year, sometimes even five and six times a year, to be honest with you. And the deal is to keep people from getting into trouble, from having problems. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we custom tailor that program. The average adult does well with four times a year.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Two times a year is for kids mostly.
Yeah, but I think the mantra has been...
The mantra is
twice
that.
A year.
Yeah, you hear that on television commercials for toothpaste and blah, 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 and see your dentist twice a year for a checkup. It's outdated. It's not the standard of care. The standard of care for most adults really is every 3 to 4 months.
And by the way, how about these ones where they advertise the mouthwash that eliminates 99.9%
of... Oh, I go crazy.
Yeah.
That's 99.9%
is superficial. Nothing that's under the gum.
Okay, and sometimes they have a dentist in his white coat or her white coat
kind of... Makes me crazy,
testifying,
too.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Makes me crazy.
You know, like an expert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't it drive you crazy?
They're called actors.
But you know something? Even if they're actors...
They're advertising.
I have no doubt that they could probably find a regular dentist, a real dentist.
They probably could.
To speak on their behalf.
Yeah. You know, if you listen to those commercials carefully, they will say, just like Dr. Edelstein said, removes 99.9% of bacteria. They don't insert the word superficial. And they will say reduces gingivitis, but you will never hear them make the claim that they help fight periodontal disease or help cure periodontal disease, but because they cannot and don't. So you really, they write those commercials, and I love the commercials where it shows the oxygenating bubbles in the toothpaste going in between the teeth and all around
the
tooth.
Yeah, all that, I see that.
Okay, so what, a bubble passes over the tooth.
Sounds great,
really
though. It's like it's like a bath for your teeth.
Yeah, you know? If you don't know, it's kind of convincing. But listen close.
I've told you before that my wife and I joked that whatever TV stations we watch must be for old people. That's all we see is ads for, you know, arthritis. Come on, you know, for dementia.
Sure. Cialis.
Cialis. You know, what's, you know, I hate to say it, these adult diapers, there's a fancy name for it. It's not diaper, but it's some kind of.
The Depends.
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. We laugh about it. And then there's, all right, so one of the drugs, let's say it's Xarelto. I don't know that it's Xarelto.
Right? Yeah.
But so they have a very good, you know, very beautifully produced commercial for mm-hmm. Xarelto. Mm-hmm. And it might have Arnold Palmer in it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. One of, you know, some celebrity and all that kind of stuff. In the next break is a commercial from a law firm that's going to sue Xarelto
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you've
yeah,
had side true. Effects from taking.
Yes.
We were the other night we were watching the news or something, and one of those commercials came on, and Amy kind of popped her head up, and they listed all the side effects. And it was like sound. It's, I don't even remember what it was, what the commercial was for, but the side effects were awful.
Death, including death.
Yeah, so Amy turned to me and said, boy, you really got to need that, you know?
Yeah. You know that death is one of the side effects.
It was awful. They listed all of them. It was terrible.
You know what I don't like while inventing, guys? And you're one of the, you probably have better reviews online, right? More positive reviews than anybody in your field. I feel fairly comfortable saying that. I mean, how often do you ever get a negative review? It's so rare. If you've ever even had one.
Okay. Well, we try hard.
Okay. But at the same time, if I was a dentist or an MD, I would hate those things because it's like, I mean, do people really all, do they really know what a good periodontist is or a good MD? You know, sometimes you tell them that there's a problem and then they're mad, you know?
Yeah, most of the I have found that most patients will judge the quality of a dentist by lack of pain. If there's mm-hmm. if they don't produce any discomfort, then they must be good, and that's not necessarily the case. That's an important aspect of what we do, and of course, in our office, we really try hard for things to be comfortable, but. That seems to be the overriding gauge that a person will use to determine whether a dentist is good or not. So, but it's not always the case.
It's not always the best gauge anyway.
Yeah, so some dentists I know are extremely gentle and they're not very good at dentistry. They're just very, very nice people.
You know, some who kind of dub themselves, you know, the sleep dentist.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Sure.
And I just wonder about how... the professionalism of something like that to bill yourself as such, you know, I see you kind of, you know, grimacing there, Sue, you know.
I'm just smiling and will remain politically polite.
All right. When we come back, Arestin.
Yes.
We're going to
talk about it.
The misuse of Arestin, which is a popular medication given for periodontal disease. I think the first time I ever met you, I told you that I'd been given.
Yes.
Yeah.
Injections of Arestin.
Uh-huh.
And then you told me the skinny on Arestin.
Yes.
Which I never had known. So.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that when we come back because an awful lot of people get Arestin.
Yes.
Not arrested. Arestin. Get arrested.
Let's not be confused.
Believe me, I got some family members. Well, that's something else. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, office at 2045 Peachtree Road. Across from Piedmont Hospital. And Sue, as I mentioned once per show, next to the Darlington Apartments. What's the population? Has anybody seen that?
Oh, I didn't check on the way here.
I didn't check either.
It's 6 million plus, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's how people know the Darlington, which is going to be torn down. I hope they keep that population.
They should keep the sign.
They better keep
it. It's a landmark in this town.
Yeah, it is a landmark. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you come to Atlanta from out of town, well, you got to go to the CNN Center, Stone Mountain, and the Darlington Apartments to see the pop.
And then the Big Chicken. Throw
the
that
big
one
chicken.
In there.
There you go. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a minute.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. It's a great name for a show. I remember when we were bandying about various names. We didn't really come up with any good ones, I've been thinking.
Yeah, this was the best one by far.
open wide.
But you bite on this was our second.
Bite me, whatever.
Was our second
bite
choice.
Me.
But it was voted down. I wonder why.
All right, so periodontal disease, it's an epidemic.
Okay. It is.
Yes.
The evidence is showing us increasingly that it can cause heart attacks, strokes, kidney disease, erectile dysfunction, arthritis, among other things. I think there are even some other things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In addition to that, and one of the most prescribed drugs, I don't know if it's by even a prescription. It's probably just an application right there in the office.
Yeah, it's an in-office application.
Arrestin,
yes.
It's called.
Well, you know, Jeff, when we decided to do a show on this subject, I had a chance to think about it a little bit. And I've been in practice for over 30 years. And there is some value for this product, but I have never seen anything so misused as this product called Arrestin. And it's in the classification of sub-gingival local delivery of antibiotics. It is an antibiotic. It's in the tetracycline family. And what it is, it's one dose, and it's introduced under the gum. And it's interesting to me that the study that got it on the market, they used three doses, 3 months apart, ground zero, 3 months, 6 months, then they looked back 9 months later, and they compared that to sites that didn't have any placement of antibiotic and didn't even have any cleaning. And when they looked back, they detected a statistical difference. There was about a third of a millimeter of pocket depth improvement compared to a site that didn't even get a cleaning.
Now, explain to us, layman, a third of a millimeter. Well, is that a lot?
No, that's very little.
And a millimeter is very little.
Yes, a thousandth of a meter.
Yes.
Imagine a third of that.
So, you know, you figure, so it's a third of a millimeter. It's such a tiny amount, it's hard to measure it from our devices in the office. You can't even measure it.
Correct.
The only way to get a third of a millimeter is it's a statistical figure by averaging hundreds of sites together. And the reality of it is it's such a small amount, there is some question as to whether that's clinically significant. It's statistically significant. That's what got on the market. But it may, in reality, rarely be clinically significant. It's interesting, a few things I'd like to point out to the listeners. If it was such a great product, don't you think every periodontist would be using the heck out of it?
Sure.
Question. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if I told you that in the periodontal community, there are some periodontists that don't use it at all? As a matter of fact, maybe half of the periodontists that I'm friendly with don't use it at all. And maybe the other half, this is a rough estimate, of course, maybe the other half will use it very sparingly. If it was so good, don't you think I and we would be using it across the board, be using it on everyone?
Among what types of dentists is it being used?
It's mostly general dentists. It's marketed to general dentists as a panacea, and that they put this stuff under the gum and they can fix periodontal disease. And as I mentioned, there is some statistical significance that's very small, but it may not be very clinically significant.
But statistical difference is the criteria they're using.
Well, the statistical difference is what got it on the market. And there might be some isolated situations where we may use it in the practice, maybe a few times a day on an isolated situation. But what I see out there is patients are spending hundreds of dollars on this product. And think about it, it doesn't have a lot of clinical significance. It's not going to change the patient that needs an extraction, mm-hmm. as in your friend's case. It's not going to change the course of someone needing periodontal surgery or regeneration of the bone around a tooth. It's not going to change anything. Yet people are getting these products wholesale across the board. I can talk about clinical significance. I reminded myself about a patient by the name of Dick. And this guy was a very, very bright guy. He was a pilot. And he was referred to me, and 3 months earlier or 6 months earlier before he was referred to me, he went to his dentist, and he had a 9 millimeter pocket next to a tooth.
And that's almost, that's the one below
10. Perfect 10.
Perfect 10.
No,
not 9 millimeters. And his dentist said, well, let's try this stuff under the gum and let's see if this works. And of course, he saw Dick 3 or 6 months later, and it was the same because it wasn't clinically significant, any improvement. And he sent him to me, and Dick needed an extraction and an implant, not uncommon. So Dick was a pretty clever guy. He said, Bruce, tell me, what benefit was that stuff that my dentist put under the gum? And I said, well, Dick, I had to think about it. This is an extrapolation because no one's really done a study with one. So if you extrapolate, okay, a third of a millimeter from three applications. I said, Dick, maybe you got a tenth of a millimeter of improvement with one application. Dick looks at me and he says, Bruce, a tenth of a millimeter, my pocket was 9 millimeters. That's not a nit on the nut of a gnat.
Right.
And I'm from the north.
Yeah,
he had to explain to me what a nit on the nut of a gnat was because I didn't know what.
Let me think about that second.
I'm going to quiz you on this, Jeff.
Yeah, nit on the nut of a gnat. I can't even say it, let alone what it is.
Nit on the nut of a gnat. So Dick brought it into reality, and he brought to my attention how irrelevant this application was. But people are getting this across the board. They're getting a nit on the nut of a gnat on a regular basis every time they go in for cleaning. They're putting this stuff into these pockets, and they need different levels of treatment. And there is definitely some supervised disease going on where the dentists are supervising the disease process, and they are applying Arestin on a wholesale basis, and the patient may need a different direction, and typically does.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to stay on the subject of Arestin, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this, don't answer just yet, whether overuse of it can be dangerous to the body, because you mentioned tetracycline before, and that's fairly powerful. And also, I want to ask you, Dr. Edelstein, in your professional opinion, if you feel that antibiotics in general are overprescribed, because we've heard this, that it's being overprescribed, and I think their efficacy is reduced because they're being overused. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to ask you about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. By the way, we have our new patient special, and it is $129, and you get $650 worth of services. By the way, that's what I got when I came to you the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I'm serious, just as a regular guy out there, $129 is something that most people are willing to invest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To learn more and find out.
Yeah.
It's affordable.
It's terrific value.
Much. Okay, mm-hmm. For what I got, I know you didn't make any money. You probably lose money.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the hundreds of dollars, because I think you had told me that it was worth $650 mm-hmm. in services.
It was.
So you can take advantage of the new patient special, that $129. You're going to learn an awful lot. You're going to get an awful lot. You're going to learn an awful lot, folks, at the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking, by the way. You even have your own spaces there. It's mm-hmm. very nice. It's very nice. And I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, guys. Mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Let me just remind our listeners again of your new patient special, $129. It's worth over $650. And like I said, I availed myself of this special, and I learned enough from it to know that you're my dentist as well as my periodontist. But that's my decision that I made.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Our pleasure.
Okay. Well, thank you. And interest-free financing. For a year, or 10% off should your treatment be in excess of $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's correct.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we were talking about the use of or the misuse of Arestin. Okay. I've actually been administered Arestin by my dentist in the past. And I often wondered, you know, now they recommended I do it, so well, what the heck, you know. But I often wondered whether it was doing any good. You know,
right.
And what ended up happening to that tooth anyway?
It's gone. When you looked at it, you said to me, you know, this tooth is infected. This thing, and you got a 10-millimeter pocket. So obviously, you know, what is it, a third of a millimeter? It's not going to do anything.
It didn't change the course of the tooth.
And not the knit of a nut of a gnat.
It wasn't
on the nut of a gnat.
It wasn't even a knit on the nut of a gnat.
Okay.
That's what the title of the show should be, Sue.
It should be. We're going to name it that. The knit on the nut of a gnat. You got to think about that.
Yeah. I know what the knit is. Like nitpicking?
Yeah. Well,
I know what a gnat is. But on the nut of a gnat.
I think a knit is smaller than a gnat.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Has to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the poor gnat really is.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than he is. Anyway.
Well, Dr. Olstein just brought out a big point about Arrestin. It hasn't been demonstrated to be clinically significant. And the definition of clinically significant is that it alters the outcome or the course of treatment for that tooth. And in your case, it did not. It did not save the tooth. It could not save the tooth.
Which makes me worry that, you know, maybe it's harmful. Maybe it's potentially dangerous. You know, it's an antibiotic.
Well, but not much of it becomes systemic. So I think it's been shown that most of it stays local in a periodontal pocket, and not much, if any, becomes systemic. I still, obviously, it would be contraindicated in certain situations, someone who's allergic or other situations. It doesn't become, you don't develop a significant local amount. I need to change that to some extent, because I've heard of some patients getting 15 to 17 doses.
Wow.
In 15 to 17 pockets.
That's a lot of antibiotic.
Yes. It was like $800 worth of the antibiotic, and the patient needed, guess what? The patient needed wisdom teeth to be extracted. Three of those applications were on wisdom teeth, and he needed flap surgery anyway. He needed periodontal surgery.
Despite the 15 to 18 treatments.
Right.
It did not change the course of his treatment one iota.
Wow.
Not at all.
You know, you told me before we were recording, one of the problems is that the people who market Arrestin are doing so very hard. I mean, there is a very strong campaign on within the dental community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the marketers of Arrestin for dentists to use it. Maybe you can you speak to that?
Well, I mean, I don't think that the limitations are ever discussed. There is some benefit to it in some situations, and as I mentioned, we do use it on occasion. But I don't think they talk about the limitations. And it's marketed as a panacea, and that they can cure gum disease this way. And we know, even from their own study that got on the market, that it helps a very little bit. May not be clinically significant in a lot of cases, but it's not marketed that way. So the dentist gets a false sense of security, the hygienist gets a false sense of security, and the patient gets a false sense of security, the cost of this.
I say a revenue stream.
It's marketed as a revenue stream to the general office. It is, and you know, I'm all for. A general dentist having an office that has a very tuned in hygiene department, but please, please, please know the limitations of some of these products. And it's not just Arrestin. There are other products also that are out there, and it would be rare for a company to talk about its limitations.
And I'm going to digress for just a moment, because you talked about how they hit hard on the marketing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can answer this for me, because I've seen this at doctor's offices, where you walk into the waiting room, and usually like in the corner, there's a young lady sitting there. Yeah, she's got one of those, it looks like a suitcase on wheels kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in that is her, you know,
her wares.
Her chazerai. Can I use that word, Doc?
Yes, of
Dr.
course.
Dr. Edelstein?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll tell you later.
Okay, yeah, fill me in on the
You know, she's got all this stuff. And so do you have this happen with you where...
Yes.
They come on a certain... Tell us how that works, we laymen, because, again, all I do is I see sometimes some young lady sitting in the corner waiting patiently. They're very nice about it. You know what I mean? They know that they can't barge in the middle.
We value our reps. You know, yes. It's our implant reps, our regeneration reps. We depend on them to tell us what's new, what's the latest, what's the greatest. We rely on them if we have questions about the product. We do value them. But this group of reps in particular, we have found to be aggressive and misleading on purpose or not divulging all the information. It's not indicated in sites where there's bone loss. But yet we're seeing our patients come in with tremendous amounts of bone loss, and they've all had a Restin placed 1, 2, 3, 4 times or over the last 8 years, multi-sites. It's not indicated.
Is the sales rep pressured to
because
push?
It doesn't fix the problem.
Correct.
So is the sales rep pressured to push a Restin, let's say? Their boss say to them, hey, look, maybe, we need you to move some of this.
Maybe so. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes in their world, but I would imagine.
By the way, you mentioned you just mentioned in passing, Sue, your implant rep, and I happen to know that you hold him in very high regard.
Yes.
Yeah, he's very
Mike
knowledgeable.
Mike in particular is great.
He's a good guy. Mike King from Zimmer Biomet, and he's been around for forever, so he has a tremendous amount of wealth of experience.
So a very experienced rep like that can be a great resource for you.
Yes, it is, very much so. They really help us with the products that we use from their companies. We just find that with this particular set of reps, it seems to be offered as a panacea. There's not the discriminatory recommendations that we find when we go back to the studies, or Dr. Edelstein is having chats or blogs, or there's review of the studies. They're not compatible. What the reps are saying and what the general dental community is doing doesn't really match what we're seeing in the studies, or what may be cautioned or what may be abstracted from a certain study.
And perhaps the patients are lulled into this false sense of security.
Very much
they
so.
They are.
That this is going to cure their periodontal disease, or it's going to arrest it.
Yeah,
thus
yeah.
Hence the name.
Yeah.
I said thus the name, but you were right. Hence the name. Mm-hmm. Very good. Are Dr. Edelstein, in your view, are antibiotics in general, are they overprescribed?
Yeah, they probably are. And stuff that I read, of course, material that I read, of course, documents that there is a tendency to overprescribe antibiotics. Now, that said, I do tend to prescribe antibiotics quite a bit to treat periodontal disease, but it's usually not any of the local delivery systems like a Restin. I use systemic antibiotics quite a bit.
In other words, a pill, let's say.
Yes, yes, a course of oral antibiotic therapy. And my rationale is that this is an infection. And we see this could potentially be a serious infection. And there is some evidence that some antibiotics, as an adjunct to either a surgical approach or a non-surgical treatment, may have some benefit. Not just one pocket, a tenth of a millimeter, but could have 1 to 2 millimeters of benefit everywhere in the mouth. So
Which would be clinically significant. It would alter that patient's course of treatment,
Would be clinically significant, and we could help treat this horrendous disease in a better way.
You know, when you're in that 8 or 9 millimeter category with the pocketing, a couple mm-hmm. millimeters can make a big difference, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, there's one antibiotic that I like to use. There's 2 or 3 studies that support 5 years makes a big difference. Patients have less tooth loss and need less surgery. So there is definitely some benefit to using antibiotics.
All right, we're going to take a break, but here's a question I'd like you to ponder during the break.
Okay.
When you have an infection, okay, whether it's one for which a general dentist will prescribe a Restin, let's say, or you as a periodontist will prescribe something else, okay? Something that's systemic, so it's like a pill that mm-hmm. goes through the body. When you experience an infection like that, is your body trying to fight it? All right, that's the question I have. Is your body trying to make you well, or is it not going to? Does the antibiotic help your body to fight it? you know, we laymen, we don't understand how this works, and I'm glad to have you in front of me here, Dr. Edelstein. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, happens to be my periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington Apartments. By the way, anybody wants to call me and ask me about my experience with Dr.
Really?
Edelstein? I don't mind. You know, I've never written a review for you, you know, but I looked at your reviews and I can't find a bad one. And these are not, these are just regular reviews.
Your patients.
It's amazing. Quite amazing. Didn't you say that Google knows how to like weed out the ones that...
Sue knows more about that than
well,
I do.
Well, Google, yeah. I mean, early in the day, it's very difficult to do now. People could load up on their Google reviews. They could have a staff member and the computer in the back just write out a ton of reviews. Google knows that IP address is all of a sudden spitting out 10 reviews, and it won't allow them to be shown. Google has all that worked out, and that's why a Google review means a lot, because Google really goes out of their way to ensure that their reviews are authentic. If you've ever done a Google review, you have to have a Gmail account, number one. Number two, after you write it, you get an email verification back that you really did write that. They go out of their way. So a Google review usually speaks with validity.
You know, I think the same thing may be true of like search engine optimization. There used to be a way you could really move it up.
Correct.
Artificially.
Right.
Googling your name or the name of your product, whatever it was.
Right.
And that would move you up. It wasn't really a fair way to work.
Correct. Yeah. You know? Google, it really nails that down. I mean, they've got serious algorithms and programs behind the scenes that just really help make their Google reviews authentic and valid.
Wow. All right. So we're gonna discuss the question that I mentioned just a moment ago when we come back. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Be back in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. This is Dr. Edelstein. Oh, you know what? Are you ever going to have another seminar? I went to one of your seminars. It was wonderful.
The implant seminar?
Yeah, it was an implant seminar.
We will probably reintroduce them in the fall.
I thought it was great because you explained everything graphically and you had slides and, you know, there was a very nice meal.
Implant models.
Yeah.
We had models.
Models?
Implant models.
Implant models.
Where people
yeah.
could see what an implant looks like.
And a very nice meal.
We did have we did.
It was heavy hors d'oeuvres.
We made it nice.
It was quite nice.
Yeah, we tried to.
Isn't it sad to say sometimes, are there people actually sometimes come for just the meal?
Yeah, a few
we
did.
That's very upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That somebody would do something like that.
Yeah.
And we also have our new patient special, $129, worth over $650 or more. And that's just kind of an evaluation, an initial evaluation. How does that work? What do we evaluate?
Yeah. It's an examination and a consultation about what someone's options are. And we review the medical history and the dental condition and dental history, and we will provide a treatment plan or a number of different treatment plans for someone to help them achieve health.
And sometimes you probably say no doubt to yourself, wow, this person doesn't have very much wrong with them. You know, I mean, they still need maintenance. You know, it's almost like think of it like a vehicle or your body. You know,
it doesn't happen a lot. Not too often.
Aren't there people, you know, the young people who are under, you know, because we talked about the percentage of people over a certain age
with periodontal disease. But then again, someone over age 35, 50% of the U.S. population over age 35 has some periodontal disease. Mm. It goes to 70% over age 65, but it's 50% over age 35. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone old. Someone, you know, 35 to 40 to 45 also has problems.
Don't you love though when you can
50% of the time?
Yeah.
Don't you love 50%? Don't you love when you can spot it early though? just the very beginning.
Oh, gosh. Love we wish we could more. You know, we wish we could more.
On occasion, someone will come to see me.
Golly.
Because their parent encouraged them or they came to us on their own.
Yeah.
And I'll look at them. I'll say, you know what? You just need, you know, 3 cleanings a year and you need to start flossing and you'll be terrific. And I love it when I can say that to someone, and I do on occasion. We do have maybe once a month someone will come that fits that get that category, but it's not that common, Jeff. It really isn't.
Mm. So you have somebody in your office, let's say, and you take a look at them and you see that there's periodontal disease. Sometimes you can just, I guess, see it with your naked eye because, well, you've been in the business for so many years and you're very experienced. And the gums are very red, kind of inflamed, swollen.
They don't have to be, but yes, that's one of the signs.
Is their body trying to fight it?
Yes. Periodontal disease starts off as a bacterial infection, and the body mounts an inflammatory reaction. We talked about this on a previous show, that this inflammatory reaction actually is what we think is linked to the different systemic problems that we mentioned, like heart disease, stroke, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. So the body is trying to fight this infection. And the way to look at it, the way I like to look at it is if the tooth has some tartar or calculus, we say, on the side of the root, and their body mounts an inflammatory reaction, the body is trying to reject the tooth, kind of like a splinter.
Really?
That's what the body...
foreign body.
Well, it's a foreign body full of teeming with bacteria. So the body mounts this inflammatory reaction to expel the tooth. And therefore, you get bone loss around the tooth until the tooth is literally rejected, just like a splinter. So that's one way to look at it, and that is convenient for me to look at it that way.
But this is not something that occurs in a week or a month.
No.
It's something that occurs over time,
Over years, and usually it's painless, but the body is trying to reject the tooth. Now, if you think about it, years ago, 100 years ago, people lived to age 35 or 40, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, people had periodontal disease. Most people had to have their teeth extracted back then. A dentist was the sole purpose of a dentist was to extract teeth. And
lovely.
So now we've doubled our expected life expectancy or more. And now we're asking our teeth to last a lifetime, which is now twice what it used to be. And it's very important that folks get their gums healthy and seek periodontal care that's adequate and sustainable for their lifetime.
All right. So if a person comes to you directly.
Yes.
Not a referral from a general dentist.
And
but
most,
they come to you
most do these days, okay. Frankly.
But they've been under the care of a regular general dentist for many years, let's say. You sometimes say to yourself, wow, I wish that dentist
blank
had referred them because this person's had this problem for a long time and apparently their dentist has really not done anything about it or at least even referred them to somebody who can help
or see it more than we want
put
to.
In some Arrestin.
Some Arrestin, yeah.
You see where that fits?
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, the thing that bothers me too is the marketing. You know, that they're pushing it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
The industry is pushing it hard. It's a moneymaker. It's a profit center.
I had a few patients had a hopeless tooth or two, had a bunch of Arrestin placed thinking that it was treating, you know, the dentist from which they came thought that this was treating it. And one patient we treated periodontally and made healthy. And this other patient needed an extraction or two, and we made them healthy. And they both had reduction in their A1C because they were harboring this infection.
Which is a diabetes test.
Yes, yes. It's so they had a higher A1C, and they both were borderline diabetic, and now they're not. And because they were harboring this infection, it was undertreated, if you will. And once we treated the periodontal disease, they had a reduction in A1C. Mm. It does happen. It is fairly common.
What percentage of patients who come to you present with some signs of diabetes? Because you said you deal with a lot of people in their older years, you know, in the 60s, 70s.
Well, you know how common diabetes is, or pre-diabetes.
Huge now.
Pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
So it is not uncommon for us to see and treat patients in that pre-diabetic category. And, it's been shown that if someone gets periodontal treatment and it's effectively treated, it's can be the equivalent of one oral medication to treat diabetes.
Wow.
So you saw all those commercials that you saw on television for different medications to treat early diabetes. You know, could you imagine if all they needed to do was treat the periodontal disease and it would be as effective as one of those medications?
Yeah, and have one less pill to take. Yeah.
Yes, one less pill to take. Of course, you know, I would not, I would never take the place of their general physician, and they're encouraged to certainly continue the care of their physician. But isn't that a wonderful thing that we can get their mouth healthy and they could get their blood sugar under control, better control at the same time?
Last question, because we're just about out of time.
Sure.
If somebody has full-blown diabetes and he's on your chair and you're going to be doing surgery on him, are there special precautions you have to take because of the fact that he or she is diabetic?
Not really. We would ask that they do whatever they can to control their sugar in the best way possible. If they're well controlled in whatever means, then we treat them normally.
Oh. All right, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent, and what a great lesson today on the use, or I should say the misuse, of Arestin.
Well, I have a few thoughts for the listeners out there. If someone gets scaling and root planing over and over again, time to see a periodontist, someone who specializes in treating the gums. If someone has multiple applications of Arestin, time to see a periodontist. That's the take-home lesson. I'm not worried about one application or maybe even two in a very isolated situation. There may be some isolated value to it here and there, but any wholesale use of it or repeated use of it or scaling and root planing, that's a flag.
Go get help from a periodontist. And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Periodontist located in Buckhead. Free parking, plenty of free parking. People love that, Doc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Visit mygumdoc.com. Their office is located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And again, visit mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, has always been a great pleasure, and I appreciate you both.
Pleasure's ours.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.